You guys know that we are in the book of Ephesians. We're going through a series on Ephesians. And as we've been going through this series on Ephesians, I've been thinking, okay, in the back of my mind, we're getting to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 has the holy armor in it. I really want it to be that the kids are in here when we talk about the holy armor of God. And as time went on, and specifically last weekend, I began to ask God, well, God, this is my plan. What's your plan? We know it's important to ask God, what's, you know, yes, right? And so as I began to ask him, God began to change my heart about the fact that maybe we weren't supposed to talk about the holy armor of God today. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm still sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that I can hear what it is that his Spirit is saying. Otherwise, we may be hearing, well, it may be a word from the Lord. It may not be the message that God specifically wants to give to us today. And so I'm just going to take you on a little journey with me this week, a little bit of insight, just into my past week here. Last Sunday, we were finishing up service, and we were getting ready to do our response time at the end, and a few of you began to speak up and to share some things. And while I wasn't expecting it, I was so thankful for it. I was like, oh, this is so good. God is doing something new. And as I prayed into that, God was saying, this is what you've been praying for, John. This is what you've been praying for. That people would participate and respond. And that's what we're supposed to do, okay? In the body of Christ, we all have a part to play. We all are supposed to participate. We all are supposed to respond in one way or another. And so that was the beginning of it. But then let me ask you, how does God speak to you? This is one way. This is one way that he speaks to me sometimes. So one way was he did something, and then he began to show me what it was that he was doing. Next thing was, as I began to seek God about, well, maybe you have something different for this week to share, I opened up a monthly newsletter that I get every month from David Wilkerson's son, Gary Wilkerson's ministry. David Wilkerson is the guy who started Teen Challenge. And so I opened up his newsletter and I began to read it. And while the newsletter wasn't about what I'm going to be talking about today, it talked about, in part of the newsletter, it talked about the scripture that we're going to be talking about mostly today. So that was the second thing. Then the third thing, I opened up my email, and I began to look at email, and there was one in there that I was looking at, and I happened to scroll down all the way to the bottom, and there was a link to an article that talked about the same scriptures that we're going to be talking about today. And I was like, huh, starting to get a clue. And so I was like, well, maybe I should go look up that scripture. So I go to my Bible, and I go to open it and just, you know, turn there to see which way I need to go, and I turned right to that scripture. And I said, okay. I got the clue, God. I got the clue. So today we are going to pause our series on the book of Ephesians, and we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. But we are going to start in Ephesians, and we're going to go to, if you got your Bibles, open with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You thought we were going to be getting done with Ephesians today, didn't you? Sometimes we need to go back to go forward. Oh, that's something good right there. Sometimes we need to go back to go forward. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right, Ephesians 4, and we're going to start in verse 11. If you're there, say I'm there. You ready? Say, let's go. Yes, with enthusiasm. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says this. So Christ himself gave, someone say gave, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to what? Prepare or equip his people for what? For works of service or works of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you that it is your word, and I thank you that what you are doing today is of you. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, help us to be submitted to your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear what your Spirit wants to say to us today. And, God, we welcome any transformation that you want to bring in our lives today, that it would be of you and not of man. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message today is Being Equipped. Being equipped. So I started here in Ephesians 4 to just briefly mention my role as pastor. I see that in Ephesians chapter 4 that one of my roles, or my role here as in the pastor of the church, is to equip. is to equip. Now, I'm probably not the only one that's ever thought this, but it's easy to think that someone in my role, that their job is you need to give a sermon every single week. That's your job, to give a sermon every single week. And while that's part of it, that is part of my role, the other part would be, or at least another part would be, the equipping comes, because we hope as a pastor that you would get equipped through the word of God. But the other part of it is that you live out that, whatever it is that God's done in your heart, and that is part of your equipping, and mine as well. And so the equipping comes as you begin to live out the word through the abilities that you have and the passions in your heart that God has given individually to you. And so we are to equip. We are to be equipped, and we are to equip one another. And how do we do that? Well, now we're going to go to where I turn to. The scripture that God wanted me to talk about is 1 Corinthians. So go back, go left. Sometimes you got to go back to go forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'd like somebody who doesn't mind speaking in front of people and has the ability to read, come up and read this scripture for us today. I'm going to have this microphone over here on if it's not already. Who would like to do that today? You want to read it? Do you have it? Wait for it. Get the microphone to the right level. You got to talk into the microphone because we're recording. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it may sound a little different depending on which version of the Bible that you have. Come on up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Still a little too high.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know that at one time you were unbelievers. You were somehow drawn away to worship statues of gods that couldn't even speak. So I want you to know that no one who is speaking with the help of God's Spirit says, "May Jesus be cursed." And without the help of the Holy Spirit, no one can say, "Jesus is Lord." There are different kinds of gifts, but they are all given to believers by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. There are different ways the Spirit works, but the same God is working in all these ways and in all people. The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. To some people, the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. To others, the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. To others, the same Spirit gives faith. To others, that one Spirit gives gifts of healing. To others, He gives the power to do miracles. To others, He gives the ability to prophesy. To others, He gives the ability to tell the spirits apart. To others, He gives the ability to speak in different kinds of languages they had not known before. And to still others, He gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives gifts to each person just as He decides.
All right, good job. So Paul gives us 9 spiritual gifts here. But he starts out with saying, now about these gifts that are from the Spirit, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now we know that if we're uninformed about something, we can be, what the Bible says, influenced by something that is not what we're supposed to be influenced by. And ultimately, that we could be led astray. Okay? And so it's important that we are informed. It's important that we know where the basis for morality in our world comes from today. It's important that we know this divine instruction manual to be informed by what this Bible says, by what His Word says, so that we are not uninformed. So that we are not influenced towards the world's measures and the world's ways, so that we are not led astray, okay? And so that's what he's doing here. He's going to outline some of these things that are important for us to know. And he gets into verse 4, and he says there are different kinds of gifts, there's different kinds of service, and there's different kinds of work. But he says in each one of them, it's the same Spirit, it's the same Lord. Who's our Lord? Jesus. And it's the same God who is at work. I want you to get a little picture there. That's The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity right there that they're talking about, he's talking about. So anyway, he says that there's different kinds of gifts, service, and working. And so it's important and it's good that there are many of us in the body of Christ that are called to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Somebody say, God has good works prepared in advance for me to do. Good job. Good job. And while there's great diversity in the gifts, we'll notice that all of them come from the same source. The very same source. And that's good. That's a good thing. Because it means that everything goes through him. He, God himself, is the central point of contact for the entire body. And that's good too, isn't it? He can listen to billions of people all at the same time. It's good that he's able to do that, because you know I can't do that. You know? And so two Sundays ago, we were taking down, we had our potluck Sunday. We had the sanctuary set up for banquet style. And some people that were helping to set it up, thank you, by the way, for those who were helping to set the sanctuary back up again, they decided to ask me how the sanctuary should be set up. My frame of thinking was, well, we need to set it up for how Sunday morning service goes. Not even thinking about the fact that we had just finished Sunday morning service. And so Kelly comes in, and she knows the truth about how it is that it's supposed to be set up. It's supposed to be set up for school, because school is the next thing that happens here. So sorry about that, by the way. Sorry about that. But regardless of the inconsistencies between us as individuals, God sees all things clearly. And so when we go to him, he will show us how each of us, though different, are to work together. Working together, that's important. That's important. A few verses beyond what Mariah read in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 21, it says this. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Because the eye doesn't have a mouth, it can't really talk anyway, but you get the point. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the ear can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. Indispensable. That means we can't do it without them. So what does that tell me? The success of the church doesn't rest on any one of us, okay? But on each of us submitting ourselves to the Lord and then him helping us to work together in unity to use the gifts that he has given us. And the gifts are part of that. So let's keep going here. Verse 7, it says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? Everybody's already closed their Bibles, I guess. All right, for the common good. Manifestations. What's manifestations? In the Greek, it means something that has the potential to be active, and when it actually becomes active, we see a manifestation of it. So if you think about it in the terms of like potential and kinetic energy, potential energy would be if you grab your child on a swing and you pull them up like this, and you suspend them up like this, and you're ready to let them go, that's the potential to have kinetic energy. When you let go, then they start swinging. There's an activeness. There's an activity that happens. Okay, so up here there's potential. You let them go. That's kinetic energy. It's actively happening. It's a manifestation of the potential that they had way up here in the air as you're holding them here before you let them go. And they swing, and that's the kinetic energy. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit can be present in a person's life, giving that person spiritual gifts. But those gifts tend to be hidden until there is an active display of them. In other words, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Does that make sense? Two of you, okay. The rest of you just kind of think about it a little bit, all right. All right, so what's the purpose? So what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit manifesting each gift that he gives? Yes? But the purpose of him manifesting it is for the common good. That's what the scripture says right there. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We see the grace of God lived out through the gifts that he has given us when we manifest those gifts that he has given us. And so our gifts are not for ourselves. They're not for us, but they're for others. And that fits in real well with the second greatest commandment. What's the first greatest commandment? Yes, yes. And the second one? Yes. Love your neighbor as yourself, using the gifts that God has given you. Is loving your neighbor when you live, when you use those gifts before your neighbor or with your neighbor, whoever that may be. And so we're going to get to the list of gifts now. And I'm going to ask, I don't know if we have 21 kids or youth in here, but I want you all to come up, kids and youth first, and I want you to grab one of these envelopes that's up here. And if you're a kid who can't read, just bring it to your parents and they can help you. All right? If you're just a little young yet, maybe. That's all right. Just pick one and go back to your seat. Yep. It's a hard decision, isn't it, Mason? Which number do I pick? What's behind door number one? Okay. I got five more. Okay, how many? How about any big kids? I mean adults. If you've already got it, one. Yeah, come up and grab one. We got five more. Thank you for representing, Tim. All right. So as I go through this list, oh, one more. All right, now we're good. As I go through this list, I just want you to be prayerfully considering, if you don't already know, what are the spiritual gifts that God has given me? Because if you're a believer today, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and he has spiritual gifts that he has given you. Okay? So I need number one to be read first. Who has number one? Mason has number one. All right, go ahead and read it. A message of wisdom. Yes, very good, very good. I like to think of this as, hey, you should do it this way instead. This is how this gift is lived out, is, hey, you should do it this way instead. There's been multiple times that I'm like, oh, I can't figure something out. And all of a sudden I'll get this thought, hey, you should do it this way instead. And then, oh, sorry about that. Yeah, and then that's how it is. And so lots of times this happens with Kelly in my life. You know, I'll be like, oh, I just can't figure this out. She's like, what about this? I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. Thank you, Lord, for that message of wisdom. I remember Brother Tom talking about how he was working on the engine of his, I think it was his camper, and he couldn't get one of the bolts or something out of it. And he's like, he had the thought, why don't I use a plasma cutter? And he's like, that wouldn't make sense. That wouldn't work. But he tried it, and he got it out. He got it out enough, and it cleaned all the screws out so that he could put the new one in. And so just things like that. That's a message of wisdom. So those who have the spiritual gift of a message of wisdom, that's a way that it manifests itself in others' lives. Who's got number two?
Message of knowledge. Message of knowledge.
Message of knowledge, yes. That, I see that as something that causes what's going on in our lives to suddenly make sense. In other words, a new revelation on something that you're dealing with. When I was in depression, I was like, God, why? Why am I struggling with this? And when he would give me a word of knowledge, it would be like, oh, now it makes sense. Now I get it. There's purpose in this. Part of it was because I was going through it for others. Part of it was to clean out some of the things in my life that needed to be cleaned out. How about number three? Back in the back. All right, we got this all worked out for Jason getting his workout today.
To another, faith by the same Spirit.
Faith. Now, faith is something that we can all have. But some who have the spiritual gift of faith have a greater sense of it in that they believe God for greater things than the rest of us do. And when they believe God for greater things, and maybe God decides that's not my best will for your life, their faith is not swayed by that. Okay? That's the gift of faith. Number four. Who's got number four? Emily. Let's keep it up. Make sure that you're on opposite ends of the person that has a number around you, okay?
Gifts of healing.
Gifts of healing. I want you to notice it's not a gift of healing. It is plural. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. George O. Wood, the previous general superintendent of the National Assemblies of God, he kind of draws our attention to this in a message that he had done a while back. And he said that that is plural because there are all kinds of healing gifts. Physically healing, yes, that's what we typically attribute to gifts of healing, physically healing. But there's also emotional. There's gradual healings. There's instant healings. There's healings that are spiritual and healings of deliverance. All kinds of different types of healings that happen in that umbrella of the gifts of healing. In fact, when you think about talking about something other than physical healing, in Isaiah 53, the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah 53, he's talking about Jesus. We are pierced by, he is pierced by our transgressions. He is crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes or his wounds, we are healed. If you look at the context of what that's written in, he's talking about iniquities, transgressions, to receive peace in order to be healed. That's not a physical healing he's talking about there. That's a spiritual healing. That's a healing for our sin-sick nature. That's what that's talking about right there. What's the next one? Number five. Nope, back in the back there.
Miraculous powers.
Miraculous powers, yes. That's an activity of power or of strength. This is what Paul talked about a little bit earlier in 1 Corinthians when he said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." It's vindicating God himself when he confirms what his word says through signs, wonders, and miracles. You look at the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus did between five loaves of bread and two fish. That was a demonstration of the Spirit's power, a miraculous power. You look at Elijah in the Old Testament when he went to the widow in Zarephath during the time of famine. And he said, "Make me a cake." And she said, "I only have just a little bit of flour and oil left, and we're just going to eat it and we're going to die." And he said, "This is the word of the Lord. If you go and make me this cake, if you listen to what the word of the Lord says, you will not run out of flour and you will not run out of oil." And that is what happened. Those are miraculous powers, the gifts of miraculous powers like that. We see those things manifested. Number six. Oh, Tyler's got it.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. That is speaking a word that God wants to speak to another person or to the body as a whole. And these words are confirmed as being from the Lord because they would, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, speak out something secret in someone's heart. Speak out something that that only they know about, and the word of prophecy comes and it speaks directly to you. That's a word of prophecy. It's confirmed that way. And as Paul says, it causes people to fall down and worship God and say, "God is surely among you." This is why Paul says, "Be eager to prophesy." Be eager to prophesy. That's not just a gift for believers, but that's a gift for unbelievers as well. What's the next one? Number seven. There we go.
Distinguishing between spirits?
Distinguishing between spirits, yes. That is being able to tell if what is being said or done is of the Holy Spirit or not. In other words, discernment. If you've been given discernment, then you can also tend to be judgmental because you see things in other people that other people don't see, and you're like, "I know that's what's going on there." And I love what Oswald Chambers says about this. Oswald Chambers says, "God never gives discernment that we may criticize, but that we may pray, that we may intercede." Thank you, Lord. Number eight. Who's got number eight? Yep, up here.
Speaking in different tongues.
Speaking in different tongues. Now, this is different than the baptism in the Holy Spirit, okay? There's two different things here. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a sign that you've been baptized by the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's something that anybody and everybody can experience. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift that happens typically in a public place where a word is spoken in tongues, and it has to be, what's number nine? Who's got number nine?
Interpretation of tongues.
Interpretation of tongues. And there has to be an interpreter. Paul says that this has to be done in an orderly way. If someone who has a message in tongues is ready to give that message in tongues but sees that there is no interpreter there, then that person should be silent. Okay? So speaking in tongues needs to have an interpreter. That tells me that we should know what each other's spiritual gifts are. Because how are you going to know if you've got the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues that there's an interpreter who's going to interpret it unless you know what each other's spiritual gifts are? Right? So that's the first nine. Okay, and then we've got a few more at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. Who's got number 10? Number 10, Bryce.
You're like a puzzle.
My puzzle.
Apostle, that's right.
Yeah,
I'm glad I have the translation up here. We're good. Apostles, the early apostles were anointed to do very many things, a lot of things, supernatural things, okay? And including going to new places and new countries to share Jesus. And what we see that as today is lived out in our modern day missionaries, those who are sent overseas or to a different culture. How many know that the culture here in Bram is different than the culture in the Twin Cities, right? You know? And so it's these people that have that spiritual gift of apostle, they're anointed to maybe go and do things that aren't being done. Go and share Jesus. Go and set up ministries in different countries or different cultures and be able to minister in a lot of different ways. How about number 11?
Helps.
Helps. I like this one. Helps. People who have the spiritual gift of helps help other people operate in their giftings. Help other people operate in their giftings. If you think about, this is one of the examples that I heard of this, is the men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus on the mat, and they tear open the ceiling and they brought him down to see Jesus. That would be an example of a helps ministry. Bram Covenant has an actual ministry called Helps Ministries, and one of the things that they do is that if someone needs a ride from point A to point B, and I'm saying this because I want you to know it's just like a single one moment in time kind of thing. They're not Arrowhead Transit, all right? They're not doing this over and over again. But if someone needs a ride from point A to point B, then there's people who have a burden to do that. I want to be able to help people in this way. That's a helps ministry. Number 12.
Guidance,
yes. The King James talks about it as administration. Administration, being able to keep track of many things and organize them all. This is not my spiritual gift. But I have to do it sometimes at church. And so if there's any of you that would like to come alongside and be like, you know, I can organize this for you. I can help work this all out. Please. Yes, please. Yeah. Someone like, I suppose Lisa would be an example of this. She's the one who is our event coordinator. She's the one who puts our calendar together, our newsletter together. She's the one who's figuring out all the details of things and organizing things really well, including the Operation Christmas Child boxes. All right, so that's 12. And that's quite a list, but we ain't done yet. Oh, wait, there's more. Romans 12 is where we're going to go to next. So who's got number 13? Violet's got number 13.
Serving.
Serving. Did you know that's a spiritual gift? Serving. We all in the body of Christ are called to serve in some way or another. But those who have the spiritual gift of serving are those who like to do things in the background, behind the scenes. Those who like to serve and do the work of the ministry, but they don't want to be up here in front. They don't want to be doing this what I'm doing right now, okay? But they know that it's important. They have a desire to do that, and they are fulfilled by living those things out, those things that God has put on their hearts. Number 14. We're two-thirds of the way there.
Teaching.
These teachers are ones who accurately convey the whole counsel of God in a precise way, a specific way. There was a word that was mentioned for Kelly, for John Kneisler on Friday. What was that word? Particular. These people are particular. Okay? They want to make sure that everything that is said and done is exactly the way that it is that it's written here. And they're the ones that have like the 3 or the 5-point sermons, and they have all of their points begin with the same letter, and they all use alliteration. You know, they've got it all laid out, start to finish. I wouldn't say that that's necessarily my spiritual gift, but it goes along with being a pastor. So that's teaching. How about number 15?
Encouragement.
Encouragement. That's a big word. Encouragement. I like to think of this one as leaving somebody better than you found them. Leaving somebody better than you found them. And typically that means encouraging them with the word, either through your life and how you live, giving them hope, or even just speaking a word of truth over their lives. Okay, we can all use encouragers. In fact, you hear about Barnabas in the book of Acts. Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. And he was an encouragement to Paul. He and Paul, God said, set them apart for me for the work of the ministry. And they went out on their first missionary journey. Paul needed a Barnabas. He needed someone who was going to encourage him in those times where there was mobs and there was riots and there was physical pain that was happening, but the attacks that the people would do on them, or just the Jewish people not even wanting them to be around. It could be pretty discouraging that God would call you to something and then like not have it work out, right? It seems like it's not working out. And so that we need encouragers. And I even think about he was also the one who wanted to bring John Mark along with them on their second missionary journey, Barnabas was. And yet Paul said, no, I don't want him to come along with us because he deserted us the first time on our first missionary journey. But Barnabas continued to stand there on behalf of Mark. And they ended up parting company. And you think, well, that's not a really good example of unity in the church. But later on you read in 2 Timothy verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 11, that Paul says to Timothy, bring Mark along with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. He is helpful to me in my ministry. And I thought about, before this week, my interpretation of that was that, okay, he can come alongside and help do the work of the ministry. But this past week, God gave me a new revelation on this. Maybe Mark was wired so differently than Paul was that Mark's life drew out things out of Paul's heart that he didn't realize were there. You ever said, I just can't get along with this person. I just don't get along with this person. But maybe God brought the two of them together because there's things that he wants to draw out of each other's hearts that are like, oh, that's not pleasing to you, Lord. I'm sorry. It's a blind spot in our lives. And he wants to lay those things down. And so part of maybe that when he says he's helpful to me in my ministry, I never saw it this way before. But Paul's saying this, like, I need Mark here because he helps to draw things out of me so that I can live more for Jesus. Cool revelation there. All right. Number 16.
Giving.
Yes, and Dr. Tim talked earlier, giving is not just finances, okay? Just because you may be wealthy doesn't mean that you're a giver, or you have the spiritual gift of giving in our world today, right? And so that also means time, it means resources, it means finances as well. But you enjoy it. It's something that you love to do, having the spiritual gift. You love to be able to give your time to others. You love to be able to give your resources and what you have. You love to be able to give money if that's what people need. You love to be able to do that. That's giving. Number 17.
Leadership,
yes. That means setting a course. Those who have this spiritual gift of leadership, they set a course and they unify people to it. Okay? There's a vision, and the vision, the leader is the one who's supposed to set the vision and then to live that vision out and to draw people in to go along with that person in that vision, whatever that vision may be. And I mean that just generally speaking. We have a vision here at our church, the vision that God has given us himself. It starts with this, being transformed. And then it goes to moving in unity and then reaching our communities. Okay, so it's a three-part vision statement. We get transformation. We are transformed so that we can work together in unity so that we can then reach our communities. Okay, the community that you live in, the community that I live in, this community right here around us. All right, also with that is servant leadership. When the disciples were arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest among them, what does Jesus do? The Son of God himself, Keith, takes off his outer robe, wraps a towel around his waist, and what does he do? Washes the feet of his disciples. The Son of God himself, the perfect, spotless, sinless one, gets down on his knees and begins to wash sinful people's feet. That's servant leadership. Being a leader doesn't mean that you're above anybody else. It means that you set the example for how everybody else should be. Number 18.
Mercy.
Oh, I love mercy. You should have had faith. I love mercy. One who reaches out with love and compassion in a non-judgmental way. They just have a natural tendency to just be merciful to people. You know, some people we can judge them, we can get irritated by their behavior, whatever the case may be, but these people just have a natural tendency just to show mercy after mercy after mercy toward these people. Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It's important for all of us to practice a little bit of mercy. All right, so that's 18. And then we've got a few that we've got to pick up from Ephesians chapter 4. Number 19? Who's got number 19?
Evangelist,
yes. Those who have the gift of evangelism share the gospel because they have a burden for it, like most of us probably do, hopefully all of us in some way, but they share it with a burden to see the people come into the kingdom. And many of them come when they share it. Those who have the gift of evangelism, that's what happens. That's good. All right, how about number 20? All the way in the back.
Pastor.
Those who care about the spiritual welfare of the flock. Literally a shepherd is what it is. The picture of a shepherd, those who walk alongside people. Those who, this is not a gift that I thought that I had. Okay? But I realize from other people telling me, like, you know, you get feedback. Sometimes you don't even realize what your spiritual gifts are until someone else shares them with you, because it just comes so naturally to you. So a pastor is one who cares about the spiritual welfare of the flock. He's a shepherd. Okay? And that doesn't mean that just the flock is it could just mean an individual. You care genuinely about other people, and you want to walk with them through life. All right, and then we got one that's not mentioned by Paul in any of his letters. It's actually in the Old Testament, number 21. Who has number 21?
Craftsmen.
That comes from Exodus 31 in verse 2 and 3. There's a guy by the name of Bezalel. How'd you like to have the name Bezalel? Oh, excuse me, Mr. Bezalel? Can I borrow your level? Bezalel. So he was filled, it says in Exodus 31 and verse 2, he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God to make a bunch of different things. There's a big list there. A bunch of different things, but that's craftsmen. So 21 total. And it doesn't mean that this is an exhaustive list. I want you guys to know this doesn't mean that there's only 21 and that's it. There's nothing that Paul said. Oh, go ahead. Psalmist. There you go. Yeah, musicians. Yep. There's other ones. There's other ones like some people say the spiritual gift of martyrdom. The spiritual gift of celibacy, keeping yourself single your whole life. There's other gifts as well like that. But we're talking about 21 today. But anyway, it's important that we would know that there's more than just 21. But wait, there's more, okay? And to note that all of these gifts come from the Holy Spirit, and they are given for the common good. They're given for the common good. And God showed me something else too. We talked about from a few different books of the Bible today. We talked about from the book of Corinthians. So that was a letter written to the church in Corinth. We talked about the book of Romans. That was a letter written to the church in Rome. And the book of Ephesians, which is a letter written to the church in Ephesus. And even that reference in the Old Testament to Bezalel, who was of the nation of Israel. And God showed me this week as well. Just because there's at least 21 gifts doesn't mean that every single one of those 21 gifts is present in this room right now. Okay? Those gifts and all of the spiritual gifts are in the body of Christ overall. You look at Romans, Ephesians, Corinthians, they all have gifts that overlap, but not in any one of them did Paul mention all the exact same gifts. And I see that as because, I believe that's what God was revealing to me, is that because not all of those gifts were present in every one of those churches, but in the body of Christ overall. And this is why, guys, it's so important that we work with Stanchfield Baptist, that we work with Bram Covenant, that we work with Grace Gospel, Open Arms, Springvale Baptist. We work with them together because together we can be the body of Christ. Amen? Yes. And that's what we do. So I want to give you a picture of how all these gifts work together. It is for also us to get equipped and then to make the church what God intends it to be in order to fulfill the mission that God has for the church. So we are to equip. My job is to equip, and I do that by preaching the word. That's part of it. But also giving you opportunities to respond and to participate in our Sunday morning church services. Sometimes we get a prophetic word. Sometimes we get a message in tongues and an interpretation. Sometimes we have someone lifting up a prayer or a praise or whatever the case may be, a specific word like that. Okay? When I open the door for parts of the body at the church to step into something that they are passionate about, to do a ladies group, to do the youth girls group, to do the NA group, Pastor Gary before me, the men's groups, the Dare to Dream. When I allow someone to step outside of their comfort zone and stand up in front of a bunch of kids on a Wednesday night sharing about Jesus, then I see people getting equipped in the body of Christ. I see what Paul's talking about there. Here's our main point today. Getting equipped means someone else can get equipped. It means that someone else, getting equipped means that someone else can be built up. So that ultimately the church can manifest the things that God wants to manifest through it. It starts, though, with us walking in faith and in the spiritual gifts that God has given us and living those out. Okay? So what has God put in your heart? What has he given you the abilities to do? What is it that matters most to you? And are you doing something about it? As we close today, back in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 through 10, Paul is talking about the spiritual gifts, and he includes the statement more often of this is given by the Spirit, or this is given by the one Spirit, or this is given through the Spirit. And then he confirms that again, or he wraps it up again in verse 11 when he says that all of these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, capital S. Capital S. So we are to understand that what we receive, how we receive spiritual gifts, is only by the one Holy Spirit. Only by him. The Spirit of the living God. And so in order to have these spiritual gifts, guess what? We need to have the Spirit of God in us. We need to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, that sounds great, but I don't know that I have the Spirit of God in me. I don't know that I have him living in my heart. I don't see him manifesting things in my life that are of him. Or maybe it's that I've said, okay, yeah, Jesus, you are Savior. Thanks for dying on the cross for me so I can go and live however I want to live in my sin. Thanks for paying the price, so it's all covered. I'm all good. We've made him our Savior, but we haven't made him our Lord. We haven't made him our Lord. That means making him our Lord means that we will do what the Scripture says, that we would be offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, that is our true and proper worship. So maybe that's you today. Maybe you'd say, I've accepted him as my Savior, but I haven't made him my Lord. Maybe you're saying, I truly, like we sang earlier, all I want is to be like Christ. But I don't know if I've made that decision yet. I don't know that I've asked him into my heart. I just want you to keep just an attitude of prayer right now. Just think about that. As you spend the next few moments together, if you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. But maybe that's you today, and you would say, you know, I'm not walking with the Lord. I don't see evidence of his life in mine. I don't see evidence of his Spirit in mine. I'm still living my old ways. Or maybe I've turned back to those old ways. I did give my life to him one time, but now I don't really see that anymore in my life. If that's you today, God makes it so easy to come back to him or to come to him. Bible says that if we declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. So part of it is making that declaration of Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not only my Savior, but he's my Lord. Keith sings a song about this. He's my Lord. And then we have to let go of the sins in our lives. Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't mean you have to confess every single sin you've ever committed from the time you were born to today, but to acknowledge before a perfect God who is holy, sinless, spotless. I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes. I've done things that are wrong. And I don't want to do that anymore, God. I want to turn away from those things. I want to repent. I want to walk after you. If you're my Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. I want to trust that you're going to help me to fulfill every single one of those desires that I have for sin and for wrongdoing. And the third thing is, we would ask him to come into our hearts. If we've declared that he is Lord and we've confessed and turned away from our sin, there's an openness in our heart where he can come and have his place. And so we invite him to come in. Come into my heart. Make me new. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And then, church, all of those things working together should cause an attitude of thankfulness to rise up in you. Man, God, thank you so much. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for calling me by name, that I belong to you. That's the way you want it to be, Lord. God, forgive me. Forgive me for the sins that I've committed. Forgive me for all the things that I've done wrong or that I used to, I made that decision one time, but I've gone back and going on doing all those things again, and I'm sorry that I went back to that stuff. God, I turn away from that. And I turn to you, and I ask you to come in and make me new today. You think about that. It just causes thankfulness. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. So if that's you today, if you want to make that decision or that recommitment today, with every eye closed in this place, if that's you today, say, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord as well as my Savior. I'm ready to come back to him. If that's you today, would you slip up a hand real quick? Just want to know who I'm praying with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For those of you who raised your hands, and everybody else too, to make that declaration, just say it in your own words. Tell him, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. You can say it out loud. We're supposed to declare with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. Let's declare together, Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I turn away from those things. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from wrongdoing, God. I turn away from it. And I turn to you. Lord, come into my heart. Come in, Lord. Make me new today. Make me new. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came into this place. God, make me new. Bring transformation in my life today. And then we thank him. Thank you, Lord. Let's tell him thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for seeing that I was worth it. God, you are worthy of it all, but thank you for seeing that I was worth it. That you take delight in me. Thank you, Lord. That's how you see me. You made me, and you have plans for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for making it so easy to come to you. Help me to stay in you. For when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Not when we step out, but when we are in Christ, we are that new creation. And we can live out the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Live out our lives for him. Thank you, Lord. Let's just rejoice together today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is so much rejoicing over one sinner that repents than over the 99 that don't need to. So much rejoicing in heaven because of that. Now, can you all stand with me? We're going to close the service today by praying with one another about spiritual gifts. So I'm going to pray, but I want you to find somebody that you can pray with. And if you already know what your spiritual gift is, praise God. Maybe you have an opportunity to use it today with somebody else. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then that person that's going to come and pray with you, tell them, I'm not really sure what my spiritual gift is. And you guys are going to join together in prayer. Because why? Because when two come together in his name and agree on anything, they'll know that they have what they ask. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and I want you to find somebody just to pray with about that. We want to make sure that everybody knows what their spiritual gift is. Look, we can take a spiritual gifts test. We did that a few years ago. Okay? And spiritual gifts tests are good. They're a good tool. But like I said earlier, who's the central point of contact for the body of Christ? God, yes, his Holy Spirit. And so we need to ask the one who is the central point of contact, what are my spiritual gifts? And sometimes other people see those spiritual gifts in us, like I talked about earlier. So if that's someone that you're talking with today and you see a spiritual gift in them, call that out in them. Okay? Well, we're going to pray. God, we just thank you so much that we had this time together today to talk about spiritual gifts. Lord, I thank you that this is exciting to think about. Lord, these spiritual gifts that you've given us are beyond ourselves. We may have natural abilities and natural passions and things like that that we're naturally good at, or things that we just become passionate about. But God, those things are indicators of what the spiritual gifts are that you put into our lives. And as believers, you take our natural abilities and you take our passions and you amplify them. You turn it up, Lord God. And so, God, we pray for that today. Lord, that you would turn up the amplification of our spiritual gifts in our lives. God, show us how those abilities, those passions that you have given us, equate to a spiritual gift that you have given us as well by your Holy Spirit. And so, God, would you take this time now to help us to minister to one another, to pray for one another, and that we would see these spiritual gifts leave the potential and become the kinetic energy that you intend them to be, the manifestations of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.